forgiveness, mercy, grace, peace, a guaranteed spot in the eternal paradise of God. It is yours, my friends. It is yours from Jesus, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as you and I are reading our Old Testament scriptures, especially books such as Isaiah or Jeremiah or Daniel, it is nothing short of miraculous to see how God's plan of salvation for this world included both the rise and the fall of not only individual kings, but entire empires. Think of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of the Babylonian Empire, the empire that conquered the nation of Judah and carried God's people into exile. To this very day, Nebuchadnezzar is known as a brilliant soldier and a phenomenal builder. To this day, we still talk about the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. And yet, what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar? He died, and his empire collapsed. After Nebuchadnezzar, we hear about a man named Cyrus. Cyrus smashed the Babylonian Empire and established the empire of the Medes and the Persians. But what became of King Cyrus? He died, and his empire collapsed. Then came a man that became known as Alexander the Great. With an army of just 30,000 soldiers, Alexander the Great conquered the empire of the Medes and the Persians in just 12 short years. At the ripe old age of 30, Alexander became the master of this world. His Greek empire controlled and influenced the world for hundreds of years. And yet, what became of Alexander the Great? He died, and his empire was carved up by his four generals. What point am I trying to make here, my friends? My point is very simply this. There have indeed been men who attained the goal of becoming what some people might call the supreme king. Humanly speaking, they had absolute power and absolute control. Humanly speaking, there was no one who could stand up against them. But what happened to all of these so-called supreme kings? Eventually, they died. And after they died, their empires, their kingdoms, their domain collapsed and fell or were carved up or gobbled up by others. Look back over the course of the history of this world. Eventually, every king dies. Eventually, every kingdom falls. Except for one. Today, as you and I gather together in God's house on this last Sunday in the Christian church here, we are going to focus on the fact that there is only one king who is supreme. On the basis of these inspired words of our God, let's rejoice in knowing that our brother Jesus is indeed the supreme king. Using these words, there are three points that we want to emphasize. First of all, let's see that Jesus is indeed our supreme king because he is the almighty creator of heaven and earth. Then let's see that as our supreme king, our brother Jesus is the head of the church. And finally, let's see why it is so important for us to believe, teach, and confess that our brother Jesus will always be our supreme king. Let's start by looking at verses 15 through 17 of our text. Paul writes concerning Jesus, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." You may recall in John chapter 14, one of Jesus' disciples came to him and said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Do you remember how Jesus responded to that request? In part, he said to his disciples, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." This is the exact same truth that the Apostle Paul had in mind when he says in our text for today that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. If you want to behold the invisible God, then you need to behold Jesus. If you want to behold the comfort and the care and the concern of the invisible God, then you need to behold the comfort and the care and the concern of Jesus. Ever since Jesus came into this world, no one has to wonder who the one true God is. No one has to wonder what the one true God is like. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. When you behold Jesus, you behold the one and only living God. At the same time, Paul tells us that Jesus is not only the image of the invisible God, but he is also the firstborn over all creation. Now, there are people today and there are churches today who misuse this passage to say that Jesus is the firstborn over all creation in the sense that Jesus is the first thing that Jehovah created. You not only have to torture Scripture in order to get it to say such a thing, but such a thing is complete blasphemy in the eyes of God. The Greek word that is translated here in our text as firstborn does not emphasize sequence, but rather it emphasizes superiority. Jesus is supreme over all of creation. Jesus is preeminent over all of creation. Why? Because Jesus is the image of the invisible God. If you have your study Bibles with you, or just make a mental note when you get home, write John 3:16 in the margin next to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. John 3:16 proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that Paul's reference to Jesus as being the firstborn over all creation equals the fact that Jesus is God's one and only Son, or as many of us remember John 3:16, God's only begotten Son. Jesus' superiority over all of creation is not only due to the fact that he is the eternal Son of the one and only living God, but Jesus' superiority over all of creation is also due to the fact that Jesus was not only actively involved in creating the heavens and the earth, but Jesus is the one who holds the entire universe in the palm of his hand. Paul says concerning Jesus, "All things were created by him and for him, and in him all things hold together." If Jesus were to withdraw his hand, my friends, what would happen? If Jesus were to withdraw his hand, the entire universe and everything in it would completely collapse. The fact that Jesus is our supreme King, because he is the almighty creator of heaven and earth, is a truth that we need to hold near and dear to our hearts right down to this very day. Why? Because there are still people who think that they have the power. There are still people today who think that they are in control. Are they? Absolutely not. Like Nebuchadnezzar, like Cyrus, like Alexander the Great, one day they too shall die. And whatever empire, whatever kingdom, whatever domain they thought they had power and control over, it will completely collapse. And on that day, they will be required to kneel before our Supreme King, our brother Jesus, and receive what they deserve to receive in all of eternity. Now let's look at verses 18 through 20 of our text. Not only is our brother Jesus our Supreme King due to the fact that he is the almighty creator of heaven and earth, but Paul reminds us that as our Supreme King, Jesus is the head of the body, the church. History bears witness to the fact that there have been and still are mortal, sinful human beings who claim that they are the head of the church. But there is only one person who has the power. There is only one person who has the right to claim that he is the head of the church. That one person is our supreme king, our brother, Jesus. Jesus' right to be the head of the church is based upon the fact that he is the firstborn from among the dead. Jesus' right to be the head of the church is based upon the fact that he willingly served us by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus' glorious resurrection on Easter Sunday, a resurrection that guarantees to us that through faith in what Jesus has done for us, we are at peace with the one and only living God. Jesus' glorious resurrection on Easter Sunday is the very foundation of the entire Christian church, my friends. If Jesus had not willingly suffered and died to pay for our sins, if Jesus had not risen on Easter Sunday as the firstborn among all the dead, then the Christian church would have no reason to exist, and we would have no hope whatsoever. That is why it is so important for us, both as individuals as well as a congregation, to stay focused on the cross. This cross is a powerful reminder to us that as our supreme king, Jesus, and Jesus alone, is the head of the church. Finally, let's go back to the beginning of our text so that we can be reminded on a very personal basis of why we need to believe, teach, and confess that Jesus will always be our supreme king. Paul writes, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Ever since Adam and Eve fell into sin, this entire world and everything in it, including you and I, have been shrouded by a dominion of darkness. Picture, if you will, an entire world where there is absolutely no light whatsoever. Millions upon millions upon millions of people are simply stumbling around, completely unable to change the situation that they are in. They very quickly learn that this world is filled with rocks and with cliffs. They have this sense that there are dangerous predators lurking out there in the darkness, but by the time they realize it, that is way too late for them to do anything about it. That is why when I picture in my mind that Paul talking about the dominion of darkness, that is what goes through my little mind. But in his grace and in his mercy, the God of heaven reached down and he rescued us from that dominion of darkness through the precious gift of saving faith in our hearts, the gift that was first created through the powerful sacrament of holy baptism, the gift that is continually strengthened and nourished through the reception of God's holy supper and study of God's holy inspired word. Through that precious gift of saving faith in our heart, we have been rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into the light of the glorious kingdom of God's Son, our supreme king, our brother Jesus. In this kingdom of light, we have redemption. We know that we have been bought back from the power of sin, death, and the devil through the holy, precious blood of the Lamb of God himself. In this kingdom of light, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have the forgiveness of sins, or as I like to state it, we have complete forgiveness for all of our sins. No matter who we are, no matter what we have done, our supreme king, the almighty creator of heaven and earth, the head of the church, our brother Jesus, has recorded our name in that glorious book of life. And behind our name, he has written that one all-important word, forgiven. As we look around in our world, we see that kings come and kings go. Empires rise and empires fall. But as we gather together here in God's house today, this cross reminds us that there is one king who will never pass away. There is one kingdom that will never collapse. That one king is indeed our brother, our supreme King, Jesus. Today then, as you and I prepare to close out this Christian church here and enter into a brand new Christian church here, my encouragement to you is very simply this. Stay close to your supreme King. Stay close to your brother, Jesus. To God be the glory. Amen.